To some degree, probably, our study on the Holy Spirit and what Holy Spirit does for us. And last week I quoted F.B. Meyer, and he said, "God will not give us the Holy Spirit to enable us to gain celebrity or to procure a name or to live an easy, self-controlled life. The Spirit's passion is the glory of the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit can make his abode only with those who are willing to be at one with him in that, in this." And it's a, that's a powerful, powerful statement that, that this guy made. And in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6, it says, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." And when he laid hands on the disciples, on these 12 disciples, the Holy Spirit came on them in a similar fashion as what happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the cloven tongues of fire came and lit upon the 120 that were there. And Pentecost was, in fact, the formal outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the most, on them, most Jew, mostly Jewish church, but it included outward signs and visible signs of the Holy Spirit's presence. The church today oftentimes, or I don't think oftentimes is the word that I really want, but by and large, the church today has has been talked out of the Holy Spirit. They've been talked out of it. Well, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, they say it was for then and not for now. Well, the problem with that is they haven't read the book of Acts, because in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, that was great. And then I think it's either Acts chapter 4 or Acts chapter 6, the talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that it's for you and for the next generation, and for all of them who are afar off. Guess what? We're the far off ones. Amen. We're the far off ones. Sometimes we're the far out ones. I don't, you know. It was very interesting today. I went into a mill that I haven't been in years, and didn't know exactly what the procedure was, and I went to the, pulled on the scales and went in to the scale shack to get my weight and whatnot there, and I looked on the back wall, and this lady had the weigh lady had colored pages out of a color book. Every one of them was scripture. Every one of them had something to do with God, and I'm not going to let this just go by. And so I says to her, I says, "Where'd you get all your artwork?" I was thinking grandkids, I was thinking from her children's church, I was thinking. She said, "Well, I colored them." I was like, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, it's awesome." I said, "I love that it's all scripture." And there was one there that said, he paid a debt that he did not owe. And I was like, "Man, that is so cool." And I get ready to turn around, get back into my log truck and take off. And she goes, "I've got some FU ones too, but they won't let me put them up." And I was like, "What?" I said, "Well, I got news for you. Those are way better." Those are way better. I mean, just out of nowhere. And it was, but, you know, it was shocking to me. It shocked me. I mean, stopped me dead in my tracks. Yeah, I was like, wow. How many of us are born again believers in this house tonight? Let me see your hands. Born again, I mean, I'm born again. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are in full-time ministry for the gospel? Every hand better go up in this place, because every one of us have been called and we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to fulfill the work of the ministry. Amen. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. He empowers us. He gives us power. He speaks through us. He tells us what to say. I don't know what to say. In that moment, I wasn't really sure what to say other than pick my jaw up off the floor and put, if I'd had false teeth, they'd have probably just fell out right there in a moment. No, I don't want to borrow yours. Thanks. I appreciate the offer, though. Wow. We were playing volleyball one time, church league volleyball, and Mike's brother John was on the team, and he jumped up and spiked the ball. Well, he had false teeth, and them dudes come flying out of his mouth. And they were going across that floor. It was hilarious. He just run over and grabbed them and put them right back. I mean, he just.
What else are you
going to
do?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You got to chase them down, you know. You got. So what happens when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you shall receive. Say, shall receive. Shall receive. It's not, listen, you shall receive it. No, yeah. No, my dad used to say, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you
shall.
You what?
Shall.
You what?
Shall.
You realize by saying that you're committing yourself. You what? I love it. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Y'all didn't know that was in there, did you? It's true. It's true. This is not really the end of the earth, although sometimes we feel like it is. But Myrtle Creek, Oregon is included into the ends of the earth. And so we can read it, and Judea and Samaria and Myrtle Creek, Oregon. And we receive power to be witnesses for Jesus and to serve him in whatever area he asks us to. I got freaked out. This has been a crazy week for your pastor this week. Has been crazy. And we're only halfway through it. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Monday, I can't even remember it, but I was getting loaded up on the job, and my radio made some noise, and I didn't understand what it was going on, and somebody else said, hey Shane, the yarder engineer is trying to get a hold of you. And I said, okay. Just being a clown, I said, go ahead, caller. And he goes, hey, Father Shane. And I was like, what? Call me Father Shane. I was like, what in the world? He says, what time's church? I said, it's 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Okay. And I said, and then it's 6 o'clock Sunday night. And I said, and it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. And he goes, well, do you have good Sunday school? I said, we got children's church and we've got youth group. He said, I'll see you Sunday. I said, good deal. I love it. I hope you don't call me Father Shane. Although I should get one of them collars and put that on just to mess with them a little bit. We receive power. Gee, we sometimes we witness without witnessing. Hello. Sometimes we witness without witnessing. We think of witnessing and we think, I got to say something. You don't necessarily have to say something. Just be Christ-like. Be an example. Be like Jesus. Do the right things, right? Actions speak louder than words every time. Jesus promised the disciples that they would receive power to witness after they received the Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice the progression here. And I don't, Michelle, I don't know how you're going to put this up. I meant to put 1, 2, and 3. Good for you. Man, you're awesome. Can we just give that? I'll tell you what. Those ladies and gentlemen, listen, don't make, I'm about to say something nice about y'all, so just be careful. Those people that sit in that back booth right there get the most flack of any place in the church. It's too loud. It's not loud enough. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. You didn't follow me with the camera. You know, those guys are doing a great job. We appreciate every one of you, right? Amen. Good job. Good job. So I want you to notice the progression here. Number one, they would receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, they would receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit would give them power. Dunamis is the word that the Holy Spirit uses here for power is dunamis. And dunamis is where we get in our English language the word dynamite. And as guys, we love dynamite kind of stuff. We like blowing stuff. It's a wonder Judy's kids didn't get killed hanging out with me back in the day, because I did some not very smart things as a young man. My dad was really into reloading and black powder and all those kinds of things. Well, I learned some things about smokeless powder and black powder. And smokeless powder burns really, really slow. Black powder, not so much. Get a witness in the house, anybody? So, remember, now, this, I'm your pastor. What? Yeah, I know. I know. Why didn't you stop me, Tim? Honestly, I could have blowed a leg off. I would. My dad had these drill bits that were augers. They were big, long, and I would screw them into the ground with a crescent wrench and then pull them out, and it'd leave a really nice hole. And you put a whole bunch of black powder in one of those holes, and you could top it off with smokeless powder because it burns really slow. And so you'd light the fuse, which was the smokeless powder, and it would just go, and it'd go down in the hole, and then you'd stand on top of the hole, and it'd give you one of those. It was great. It was awesome. I could have blown my legs off. Not a smart guy. But we love blowing stuff up, don't we, guys? I mean, Tannerite's one of the greatest things they ever invented. How many men in the house love Tannerite? Why do we love Tannerite? Because we just like to blow stuff up. Two things happen when you're playing with Tannerite. Number one, you get to shoot guns. Number two, the result is things blow up. And men love that. It's awesome. This is the same kind of power that the Holy Spirit wants us to have. An explosive kind of power. The kind of power that comes from inside of us and moves things. Moves the demonic out of the way. Is this even working tonight, Rocky? Are you awake back there? Is this working? All right. I was looking for more. Number one, I was looking for an explosion, exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Listen, we're not supposed to be having this much fun in church, all right? Number one, they would receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit would give them dunamis. And number three, they would witness with extraordinary results. Why? Because the extra is the Holy Spirit, and extra with your ordinary becomes extraordinary. Amen. And things begin to happen. Lives begin to change. Here's your first fill in the blanks. Often we try to reverse the order and witness by our own power and authority. And when you try that, let me know how that works for you. Amen. Witnessing is not showing what we can do for God. Here's your next one. It's showing and telling others what God has done for me. Or for us, let me get it right. For let me just tell you what, you don't have to be a preacher, although he's called us to preach. Well, what do I preach? Your story. Nobody knows your story, Matt, like you know your story. Nobody. Listen. All you got to do is tell your story. How many times have you heard me tell my story from this pulpit on any given Sunday? I tell it over and over and over. Why? Because it's my story. And because it's pertinent. And because it involves people from the church that helped me, that are way more qualified to do what I do, but I'm the one that got the call. Which is just nuts to me. It's crazy. So it's showing and telling others what God has done for us. And when you tell others about Christ, we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what scripture to use. Listen, if you'll just start talking, God will fill your mouth. If you'll just start talking, God will fill your mouth. If you'll start taking some steps, God will direct your steps. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I can be powerful witnesses. We receive increased power to overcome sin. It says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God. Say, I am of God. That's you. You are of God. That's me. I am of God. Little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We are empowered by the all-powerful one that is on the throne. And everything else is under his power, under his authority, under his dominion, under his control. The devil can't get us. So the scriptures begin to come alive to us. Our relationship with God is more than alive and vital. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within each one of us that have been baptized in His Holy Spirit. We receive spiritual gifts when we pray to God and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive it by faith, just as we receive Jesus Christ into our life by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews talks about that. The same faith that you enacted, that you applied, the same faith that you applied in your salvation is the same faith that you have to apply in receiving the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We receive when we pray and ask, and we ask by faith. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord Jesus. So highlighting the importance of persistent and consistent prayer. Listen, you don't pray one time. We got to persist in prayer. The effectual, fervent, do you understand what it means, what fervent means? Fervent means it's fervent is hard work. Fervent is putting some effort into our prayer. Not that your effort is what gets your prayer accomplished. It's your heart. It's your faith. It's up to God. But persistent and important, highlighting the importance of persistent and consistent prayer, Jesus encouraged the disciples, who, by the way, that's us. That's us. Encouraging his disciples who wanted to be taught to pray to keep on asking. That's really what the literal verbiage is here. It says, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given, seek and you'll find. What he's really saying is, keep on asking. Keep on looking and keep on knocking. Have you ever been to somebody's house and you knock on the door and they don't come to the door, but you know that they're in there. You know daggum well they're in there. And so you just, you just keep pounding. And finally they get sick and tired of you pounding on the door until they come to the door. That's kind of what we're talking about here. It's persistent. It's consistence. And so here's another fill in the blank. Only through prayer can believers stay in contact with God, knowing what he wants them to do, and then have the strength to do God's will in every area of your life. Here's another one. God will answer believers who persistently ask, look, and knock. He will. And so in these words, Jesus is really, in essence, he has revealed the heart of God the Father. That's what Jesus is doing. Listen, I got news for you. God is not selfish. God is not selfish. He's not begrudging. He's not even stingy. No. And as his followers, we don't have to beg or grovel when we come with our requests. Here's another fill in the blank. He is a loving father who understands, who cares, who comforts, and willingly gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Willingly. And so because the Holy Spirit is God's highest gift and will not refuse, and he will not refuse giving him to those who ask. You and I as believers can trust in God's provision for all the other needs as well, what you might consider lesser needs. Our God is a need-meeting God. He loves you. And so how much better the perfect Heavenly Father treats his children. The most important gift he could ever give us is the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, again, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's where we lose most of the church, because that speaking in tongues thing freaks people out, and it ought not. It's a heavenly language. Well, I don't know what it is. You don't have to know. He knows. That's what's important. What you need to know is that because of it, I am endued with power that I can do things now that I never could do before. Amen? So when he promised to give all believers after his death, resurrection, and return to heaven, he promised the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26, and I close with this. Right on time. Bam.
You're kidding.
Sorry. I didn't do it, Bill. I did not do it. I just faked it. I was faking you out. I was just kidding. John 15, 26. But one of the greatest buts in all of Scripture. But when the Helper comes, if you read this, it's really, really, really powerful. Don't put it up. Don't put it up. Because I want to play with it a little bit. But when the helper comes, who's the helper? Holy Spirit. The paraclete. But when the helper comes, and then he qualifies it in the next part of the, he brings credential to it. He says, whom I shall send to you from the Father. But when the helper comes, by the way, whom I shall send. Just get ready, because I'm fixing to send him. So when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. And then he begins the description. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He has a job. When he comes upon you and I, when he infills you and I, when he empowers you and I, it's not just so that I can say, hey, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm a buff stud in Jesus. No, you've been endued with power for a purpose, for a reason. But when the helper comes, how many of you need help? I mean, how many of us need help? I mean, we need help. But when the helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have all the help you need. You have all the power that you need. You know why I know that? Because Trent, his word says he's all powerful. If he's all powerful, where can any more power come from? There isn't any more power, because he is all power. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, here it is, he shall testify of me. When he fills you to empower you to testify of the goodness of God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, speak through us. Holy Spirit, take this word tonight. And I pray, God, that you would just seal it down inside each one of us. God, I pray for those tonight that may not have embraced the blessing of your Holy Spirit and the baptism of your Holy Spirit. They've been a little standoffish. God, I pray tonight that you would first of all, I pray that you would just baptize them in your Holy Spirit. That's what I pray. And I pray, God, that you would show each one of them that your Holy Spirit, you would never put anything on your people that would harm them or any of those kinds of things. Your Holy Spirit is a helper, he's a comforter, he's a counselor, he's the third member of the triune Godhead. And so, Lord, tonight, I just pray your Holy Spirit sweep across this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, change us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Hallelujah. Start singing it, Kathy, because I can't pull the words together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your holy God is what our hearts long for, to be your. Holy Spirit. There's nothing worth
that could ever come close.
Nothing.
No words can compare. You are hardly a being whole.
Your presence, Lord,
I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen. Of the sweetest of
no
love,
words can compare.
Where hearts are unmade,
my shame is undone.
Your presence,
Lord.
Hey, would you just stand to your feet all around this sanctuary
Holy
tonight?
Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are.
Would you just slip your hands up? Not comfortable. It's all right. Slip them up anyway.
Your
glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Your presence,
Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, sweep through this place tonight. Sweep through this place right now tonight. Touch hearts and lives right now tonight. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to just fill your people. Endue them with power. God, I pray that there's going to come testimonies from just being in your presence and being in your house tonight, that your Holy Spirit has touched people, has set people free, has encouraged people, has have empowered people. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. God, bring us back into this place. Bring us back together on Sunday. Bring the men together on Friday night. God, I pray for the ladies for tomorrow. Our service is on Sunday at 10 o'clock and at 6 o'clock. God, we worship you. We love you. We trust you. We cast our cares on you, for you careth for us. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Hey, go ahead. Yes. Greet somebody. You can spend some time at the altars if you'd like. If you want to give somebody a big old bear hug, hug them, tell them you love them.